third Sunday morning, you're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
The question from our listener is, Psalms 18 says, I pursued after my enemies and none of them escaped. But the Bible also says, vengeance belongs to me, says the Lord. How do these two go together?
I think they're one and the same. I believe that even in this incident that happened with David in Psalms 18, that the Lord had given him the power to pursue his enemies. And that is the way it is today, that the Lord gives us the power to pursue and put down every one of our enemies, whether it's through prayer, worship, whether it's through reading the word of God. He gives us instructions on what to do in order that our enemies will not have dominion over us. And so all in all, it is God that has given us the ability to do it.
Amen. Thank you for your question. Let's talk about Psalms 18. As a matter of fact, it is a psalm of triumph. I love this psalm. It is a praise and a testament to the power and the glory and the majesty and might of God. It says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies.
And in the Message translation, it reads like this. I love you, God. You make me strong. God is my bedrock under my feet, the castle in which I live, my rescuing knight, my God, the high crag where I run for dear life, hiding behind the boulders, safe in the granite hideout. I sing to God the praise lofty and find myself safe and saved.
Hey man, I am safe and I am saved when I run to the safety of God.
You know, when you read this Psalms, I like it so much is because it talks about our enemies. It gives us instructions as to what to do. When we read the Old Testament, particularly when we're talking about the Psalms, it has one of the greatest ways of finding out how to battle your enemies, where it seems as though they're battling their physical enemy. We are battling the enemy in the spirit. And through this psalm, it gives the instructions on how to defeat our enemy. He is giving praise to God because God had caused him to pursue his enemies and defeat every one of them. And as a result, David had a praise that started out, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Anytime that you are encountering difficulties or situations that seem to be impossible and the enemy seem to be blocking you at every hand, when you come through that situation, you would have a victory praise and you will find out for yourself that God is my rock, that he's the one who has stabilized me. He is my fortress. He's the one who's protected me. He is my deliverer. He's the one that kept my enemy away from me. He is my strength. He's the one that had given me the ability to stand against my enemy and pursue them and put them down. He is my buckler. He is the horn of my salvation and he is my high tower. When you come through that situation victorious, you will sing a song of praise to God.
Amen. There is no way that you can go through all of the things that he went through and many of the things that you go through in your own life without coming forth with a praise unto God. When you realize who it is that kept you, who it is that sustained you, who it is that delivered you, when you realize that had it not been for the grace and the mercy of God, that you would have been swallowed up, when you realize that he is the only one that stood between you in death, you in destruction, you in failure, when you realize that nobody gave you a chance to make it but God, everybody betted on your defeat but God, everybody gave up on you but God, you come forth with a praise and a shout unto God. You shout unto God with a voice of triumph. When you realize that had it not been for the Lord on your side, your enemies would have swallowed you up, you too come forth saying, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my keeper, my shield, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation. He is my safety. And when I run into him, I am safe and I am saved.
And you know what? I like the other part where it says that the sorrow of death compassed me. And you know, when you're going through, it seems like death is right at your heels. He says, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. And you know, sometimes we think like we're a bag of chips and all that, but there are times when we are afraid. And it says that the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. He says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. What I like about this psalm is that he's not trying to be a Superman. What he's saying is that, listen, things became overwhelming for me, and there is one that I had to call upon, and his name is the Lord God Almighty. That's why I like the Psalms of David, is because he was real. He wasn't trying to be one that said that, you know, nothing bothers me, and all I got to do is quote the scriptures and that's it. But he was real with God. In this, he says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. How many distresses that you have been in and that you cried unto the Lord and he came and he delivered you.
Amen. And then the Bible says that the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills were moved and they were shaken because God was angry. There went a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens and came down and darkness was a under his feet, and he rode upon the cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, and his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. When you start to understand that God will bow the heavens to come see about you, there is nothing that can keep God from you, nothing that can prevent God from coming to see about you, nothing that will hold God's grace and mercy from you, nothing that can keep God from delivering his children. He will step on darkness and put it under his feet. He'll use the wind to sail to get to you. He will use the firmament and the heavens to help deliver you. Even the heavens fought for the people of God in the scriptures. He held the sun still for others in the scriptures. He backed up the waters in the scriptures. God will use everything at his hands to deliver you, and the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything that is in them, it belongs to God, and he will use the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens, the waters, the earth, the clouds, the moon. He'll use whatever he has to use to deliver his people in any way he has to, by any means necessary. God will deliver you.
Can you remember the time that the Lord delivered you in some strange ways? One is that he made your enemies your footstools, that when they thought they were fighting against you, they really was fighting for you. When the enemy thought he had you in his snare, God delivered you. Matter of fact, in the Bible, it says that he will cause all things to work together for your good, because he's just that great God, because everything is under his command. Yes, everything.
But you know how great and grandeur mountains appear? I mean, they appear stoic and immovable. That's why Jesus had to tell them, if you had to a faith the size of a mustard seed, you could cast that mountain. He wanted to show them how great faith is. Mm-hmm. And faith could take that big impenetrable mountain and cast it into the sea. In this scripture, he says that he will bow the heavens and he'll come down. He will ride upon the earth. I mean, huge mountains will shake like leaves at his presence. There is nothing that can compare or stand against the grandeur and the might and the power of your God. How great is our God.
He even used angels, you know, those beings that sometimes, most times you don't see. I remember reading when the enemy was coming against a man who was in a foreign country, and they stopped and they halted because what they had seen was there was an angel walking beside this individual bigger than life. And later on, when they found out what was going on, he asked the enemy, because they had given the report, "We tried to come against you, but everything that we tried, oh my God, it wouldn't work because we saw an angel walking with you." God can do anything. The angels are at the command of God. And if he sends them forth, they're fighting on your behalf. Most times you don't see him, but there are some times that God will give you a glimpse of that angel that he's assigned to your life. Whatever he choose and however he choose to deliver you, that's up to God. Because if he speak to a mountain, it's going to shake and quake. If he calls, if he speak to a rock, it's going to come down to destroy your enemies. My God, whatever he decides to do and how he decides to do it, it is his power to do it. He is able to do anything.
Anything but fail.
Anything but fail.
In verse 17 says, "He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me. They were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay." And what he is saying is that there was some that was stronger than I ever could have imagined overcoming. But even those strong enemies, God delivered me. Those who had the strongest hatred and opposition against me, they were impossible for me to penetrate and overcome, but God delivered me. And it says, even then, when in the day of my calamity, they came upon me. In other words, when I was down, they came and laughed at me and put their foot on my neck. They mm-hmm. tried to oppress me when I was already oppressed and suppressed. They tried to get me when I was at my lowest point, but the Lord is the one that brought me out. He stuck by me and delivered me. I want to tell you, because, you know, David found himself running for his life, fainting like a madman. He found himself seeking shelter in places, in the most unlikely places. But even when all men had forsook him, God was there and stuck with him. And I want to remind every one of us that God, when everybody else has forsaken you, given up on you, thrown in the towel and said you'd never amount to anything, God is there with you. If nobody else is in your corner, God is in your corner. If nobody else believes in you, God says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, and they are thoughts of good to give you an expected end." God has a plan for your life, and God is in your corner, and God will deliver you.
My God, I like the verse 19, when it's also said that he brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. You know, there's times when the enemy is pursuing you, you're going through, you feel like you are in a confined or restricted place. There's no place to move. When you try to go right, you can only go so far. You go left and you can't seem to turn around. There's times in our lives when we feel like we have been restricted and confined. But when God brings forth his deliverance, he brings us out in a large place, in the place where we can have free movement, in a place where we're not confined or restricted. And this is the part where he said he delivered me because he delighted in me. He's saying, because my life was well pleasing to him. He says, because I had faith and knew that God was going to deliver me, because he said that he would. He says, God favored me. And that's the testimony that we could be able to speak to. It says, God's going to do it because he delights in me. God's going to do it is because I delighted in him. I followed his word. And not only that, but I'm called righteous, not on my own merit, but because God says that I am righteous. And it says this in verse 20, the same thing I was talking about before. It says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hand, how he recompensed me. For I kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. There is a condition that God says, that he says, I will deliver you, particularly when you are following my word, particularly when you're trusting in me, particularly because you are righteous and you're living a righteous life, because you have clean hands, you're not shedding innocent blood, you're not always meddling and causing mischief to happen to someone else. He's saying your heart is pure and your heart is clean, and I'm going to deliver you because I delight in you, because I have put forth favor upon your life, because you walked in my word. Isn't it that the Bible says that he delight in those who follow after his commandments? And this is exactly what David said. He knew the word of God. He knew what made God happy. And therefore he knew that God would deliver him.
God is so great and God is so mighty. He wraps himself in light and darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice. I mean, how great. When you think about it, when you in awesome wonder, don't you have to sing, how great is our God? How great is our, how great is our God?
Great is our God. It says there's a name above all names, that he's worthy to be praised. How great is our God. And when he delivers you out of a situation, that your mouth, your heart will sing, how great is our God. Just like David did when God delivered him, he began to praise the name of the Lord and saying, how great is our God. He describes how God had delivered him. He describes the power of God. He describes the victory that the Lord has given him. And then he goes on to say this. In verse 29, it says, for by thee I have run through troop. My God, can you imagine? He said that God had given him the power to run through a troop. And by my God have I leaped over walls. I mean, God has given him great victory, great strength, great grace. And it says on verse 30, it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. He's saying he is, like to say, I've tried him, I test him, and his word is true. He is all that he said he is. And then he says, for who is God save the Lord?
Who is God? Who is like our God? Is this not the God who armed me, then aimed me in the right direction? And there is nothing like being, you know what? You could be armed to the max, but if you are shooting in the wrong direction, you're never going to hit anything. It's never going to be meaningful. But David said, he said in the Message, the translation said, this is the God that armed me, and then he aimed me in the right direction. This is how he allowed me to destroy my enemies. I was looking over here to the left, but they was coming over here from the right. I was looking for them to come through the door, but they came through the ceiling. But that's all right. I didn't know their plots and their plans, but God pointed me in their direction. God is the one who allowed me to destroy the plots and the plans and everything that pertained to my enemies. There is a time when God will tell you to go after everything, pursue it, overtake it, and recover everything that the enemy has stolen from you. I thank God that he is my God, and beside him there is not another God.
And you know what? As you were talking, you were talking about how God had pointed him in the right direction. And not only did he point him, but he also taught him how to fight. Because in verse 34, it says, he teaches my hands to war so Amen. That a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield. These are the things that Lord had given him tools to fight with. He said, thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. He's saying, listen, when I came against my enemy, he said, I didn't falter, I didn't stumble, I didn't fall down, but because of the strength of the Lord, I stood still, I stood firm and fought my enemies, and I didn't turn back. He said, when they were coming after me, I was coming to meet them. And he says in verse 37, he said, I pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. It was meaning that I wasn't going to leave them to come back up on me. I'm going to make sure that they never return again. So I'm going to pursue them, and I'm going to not only pursue them, but like you said, overtake them, and I'm going to recover my stuff.
The Message Bible says, you armed me well for this fight. You smashed the upstarts. You made my enemies turn tail, and I wiped out the haters. They cried uncle, but uncle didn't come. They yelled for God and got no for an answer. I ground them to dust. They gusted in the wind. I threw them out like garbage in the gutter. This is where God is giving you the power over your enemies. It is, vengeance does belong to the Lord, but sometimes he uses you to exact that vengeance. Sometimes he gives you the ability to pursue and to destroy the hands and the plot of your enemy. Sometimes God uses you with the weaponry he has given you to destroy your enemies. It is a wonderful thing to be able to say that all of my enemies you have destroyed. And David understood. He knew where to give the glory to. He wasn't thinking that it was his own might and ability that had done this thing. He had been fighting enemies all of his life, and he knew every time he fought them in his own strength, not a whole lot happened. But when he came in the name of the Lord, when he came in the power of the might of God, then the enemies were slain. And when they were slain by the power of God, they were utterly consumed and utterly destroyed. And those enemies, he didn't have to fight anymore.
And I'm just thinking of those that we are, things that we are bothered with, those enemies that comes to defeat us. Someone may be battling with alcoholism or battling with an issue in their family that they seem to be, that it keeps on coming back. They think that they have overcome it, but it seems like it raises its dirty head every time. But what it's saying here, that if you follow my instructions, I'm going to give you the strength to battle this thing, that not only the strength, but I'm going to give you the boldness, that once you see your enemy turn and run away, you're going to have the power to pursue that enemy and make sure that it doesn't come upon you anymore. It's just like when someone is battling with their health and you go to seek the doctor for a remedy or something just to maintain it. God said, I'm not going to give you something just to maintain it, but I'm going to give you the instructions to overcome your enemy, where you will never ever have to battle with this thing again.
Never again. Dear God, we do thank you and we praise you and we glorify you and we honor you. There is no God like Jehovah, and therefore we give thanks unto you, O Lord. Among the saints, we sing praise unto your name. You have been our deliverer. You have been our rock. You have been our mainstay. We confess with our mouth the word of God through faith. And God, we thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us, you will allow us to condemn. Thank you that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through you, empowering us to pull down the strongholds of the devil. Thank you for redeeming our life from destruction, for delivering us from the curse of the law. Thank you that you have made us an overcomer and more than a conqueror. Thank you that greater is God in us than the enemy that is in the world. I thank you, dear God, that we have been clothed in your righteousness, Father, that we are the anointed of God and we walk in the abundance of the life of Jesus Christ. We thank you, dear God, that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but love and power and a sound mind. And we walk in that spirit of power, dear God. We walk in that spirit of a sound mind. And dear God, we proclaim over our own lives that we are healed and we are whole by the stripes of the Lord Jesus. We proclaim over our own lives that we are victorious and we will love you, O Lord. You are our strength. You are our rock. You are our fortress, our deliverer, our God, our strength, and the only one in whom we will trust. We give you glory and we give you praise and we give you honor and we give you thanks. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we do pray.
Oh, Father, we thank you for being our God and destroying everyone of our enemies. We thank you that, God, that you have equipped us, dear Father God, with those tools, dear Father, to pray and to worship, oh God, to read your word, to quote your word, that word that you said will be able to, Lord, to move mountains, that word that be able, dear God, to defeat every one of our enemies, oh God, that you have given unto us. And we thank you, dear Father, that you would give us the power to, Lord, to run through troops and, Father God, to run through walls, whatever it takes, dear Father, to give us the victory, you will, Lord, strengthen our hands to do. We thank you, dear God, because we know there is nothing impossible for you to do. And anyone, dear Father God, that are facing things that seem impossible, oh God, anyone that's facing these situations that they seem to be encountering over and over again, that they're doing in their own strength, well, they recognize that, God, it is you that give us the power, dear Father, to overcome our enemies, oh Father, to pursue them and grind them as dust. Father God, that we will come to the conclusion that you are our fortress, that you are our rock, that you are our strength, you are our buckler, you are our shield, you are our high tower, oh God, and it's in you whom we trust. We thank you and we praise your holy name. In this we pray, in Jesus' name.
In
amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen. She stands forever away.
What do you know about the Constitution of the United States of America?
Is the Constitution still relevant?
Does it align with the Word of God?
Why should we care?
It is not about the donkey. It is not about the elephant. It is about the Lamb.
Plan now to join us for our next Biblical Foundation of the Constitution presentation.
This will be on Saturday, October the 10th at 12 noon at the MLK branch of the Columbus Library at 1600 East Long Street in Columbus, Ohio.
I can't wait. Help us spread the word.
Join us to find out what is really in the Constitution. You'll receive your own pocket copy.
And lunch is on us. For more information, go to www.whatdoesthelordsay.com.
America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Yes,
I need just a little more Jesus. We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.